We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan.
Go Cubbies.
Just listen to the guy sitting right next to you in the studio, Mully.
David Haw.
He's an Indiana boy.
David, I expect more from you. I love listening, but come on, stop it.
Thanks, Kevin. You make me laugh.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score, the home of the Chicago Cubs.
Both teams back at it at the same time in the same city.
Nico Hoerner cracks one in the air, deep left field, near the wall, and that ball is gone. What a first inning Nico Hoerner is having.
Vaughn laces it left center field. Let's clear those bases on a hop off the wall. It stays in. Two are home. Here comes the third. The bases are suddenly much emptier. It's 4-3.
Clanahan's 98th pitch of the game. Looped into shallow left field. That's going to be a base hit. Coming in to score is Ian Happ. Cubs lead 2-1.
There goes Romy. Throw to third is not in time. It gets away down the line. Here comes Romy Gonzalez, and all roads lead to a 6-3 advantage. Not going to walk here. In the air to left field, Romy Gonzalez is coming home.
Margot bounces one to short. This could do it. Swanson throws to first. Cubs win the ball game.
Ball game. Cue up the Blues Brothers. 7-3.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw. 5:30 till 10 a.m.
We're mired in mediocrity.
On 670 The Score.
I mean, again, we're calling them mediocre. That's an insult to mediocre. That is, they are below mediocre.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow. The world is turning. The weather is beautiful, and so is our baseball.
Morning, Mully.
At least for a night, David.
How about that? Did not expect that. Yeah. Certainly, baseball is a funny game. The Cubs, after getting swept by the Reds, look like the team that they want to be. Two in a row against the Rays, the best team in baseball. First time this season, the Rays have lost a series to a team under 500. And the White Sox, led by Romy Gonzalez. Yes, led by Romy Gonzalez, win again.
Well, I mean, is that any more unusual than Mike Tauschman leading the Cubs, right? I mean, that guy, you've won two games by one run against the best team in baseball. You've scored three times in two games, but you've gotten back-to-back fantastic performances.
You got, that's the way it's supposed to work.
The Stroh Show, yeah, as good as it's ever been, and you got back-to-back starts thanks to Kyle Hendricks. There's the old pro. Hey, I know that guy. Fantastic back-to-back
nice
games.
To see one Kyle wins. Hendricks look as in command for five innings as he did. Great to see the Cub defense back him up the way they did early. Dansby Swanson has had a terrific year defensively, and we saw it again in the first inning right away. So you mow down Franco trying to score. That was a tough play, tough call. But the Cubs, this is the way it's supposed to work. This is by design. Adbert Alzolay comes in. He gets the six-out save. He was revved up. And look, if Major League Baseball is going to jam both Chicago teams in the same town at the same time, they might as well both win.
Well, I here's what I would request of MLB. Have one. Let us go to a doubleheader. If you're going to have both teams in town, why have them both play a night game followed by both of them playing a day game?
Very odd.
Mix it up and let me go to both games. I'd love that.
The getaway day matinee for both teams. and love it for the morning show crew. I mean,
tomorrow's glorious.
We are like golden tonight. Kick your feet back. Go to bed whenever you want.
Yeah.
Goodness sakes. Dustin's going to have the Mick Ultras out because you don't have to watch a game tonight. There's no NBA. There's no NHL.
If Dustin doesn't watch a game, he tends to drink heavily. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I'm saying without saying it. Yeah. But, yeah, both teams play this afternoon, and it's an opportunity for the White Sox to win a series and for the Cubs to get a sweep. Could you imagine bouncing back from getting swept by the Reds by sweeping the Rays? Won't be easy, but Justin Steele does need to. I think he's got to bounce back. He's got to have a bounce-back performance. You know, they're playing very crisp baseball the last two games against a team who they've raised their level of play against the Rays. They're getting some clutch hitting. Not enough, though. They've got two victories, but only three runs.
Yes. That's crazy. But you know what? If they can get another two tonight, isn't Justin Steele capable of kind of repeat and rinse here?
He is definitely capable.
Same thing that has done the two previous.
Stroman, Hendricks, Steele. That would be 1-2-3 if Steele can give you a commanding performance and dominate the way the first two guys did. I think dominate is probably overstating Kyle Hendricks. He was workmanlike. He was methodical. He was what Kyle Hendricks is.
He was himself.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was good to see. Really good to see.
You've seen that performance, and it was really good to have following Stroman's spectacular game. You win 1-0, then you win 2-1. Hey, that's baseball, man. And they had, what were they, 2-10 or something in one-run games up to that point? So that is magnificent. You win one-run games, you're going to have a hell of a year. And do it again. Let's see it. I'd love 3 in a row. I think it'd be awesome.
Julian Merriweather gets his first major league win. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer to the trivia question. And yeah. Kyle Hendricks doesn't get a decision after going 5 strong. And as you said, Mike Tauchman has been a nice revelation. One of these guys they signed away from the Yankees, I believe. A local guy made good.
Mm-hmm.
He has some really disciplined at-bats. He's a professional hitter. You wonder if he's one of these guys that's going to stick around for a little while and contribute in ways that you take advantage of these little stretches of contributions. Like, I think with the White Sox, Romy Gonzalez could end up being a very good everyday player for them. But right now, they've got to ride this stretch through because he's red hot since he came back off the injured list, and he is just playing free of any stress or anxiety, and he's really, really hitting well.
We got to ask Ozzie about that. We're going to talk to Ozzie at 8 o'clock. There's so much to talk to him about. But Romy Gonzalez, he's actually producing the hardest hit, the highest velocity baseball among the White Sox. Is that the strangest statistic you've ever heard?
It is.
How is that possible?
It is when your teammate is Luis Robert, and you play in a lineup with guys who hit the ball really hard. Moncada, Luis Robert Jr. I would not think that Romy Gonzalez would be the guy at the top
Berger
of that list.
Jake
Berger?
Oh, yeah. Eloy is on that team. I believe Gavin Sheets has been known to hit a home run at home as well. Holy cow.
I like what Romy had to say about just how free he has played once he decided to just try to have fun again. And he was pressing because, you know, he was kind of thrust into action.
Sure.
Elvis Andrus was hurt.
Yeah.
Was he ready? He was playing a really different role.
Yes.
He was, I think, thrust into the outfield. That's the right word to use. Mm-hmm. And you wondered, what are they trying to do here? Force him into being a super utility kind of guy. And now the question is, since he has come back, I don't even think it's a question, Molly. Elvis Andrus will come back and he's on a rehab assignment. But
He's supposed to be back this homestand.
It's an easy solution, though. Yep. You don't take a guy this hot out of the lineup for a 35-year-old infielder coming back from an injury.
No, I wasn't suggesting that.
No, I'm not saying you were.
Right.
But I think some people are now wondering what happens when Andrus comes back. Where do you find a bat for Romy? As long as he is hot, he is hitting.
Yeah, these are all really good things to have happen. As simple as that. You want. You want to be spoiled for choice. You want to have competition among players for playing time. You know, the last thing, I know everybody loves the idea of I'm just going to write down everybody's name and we're going to stay with them and we're all cured and healthy at every spot. But I love when you get competition, when you have a good enough team to for people to be pushed, because I think that's when you see their best.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think we'll talk to Ozzie as well about his streak. Now, I think that he did the Spanish language broadcast for NBC Sports Chicago Plus, and now he is 5-0 in the booth. 5-0.
Is he really?
Yes.
Wow. They got to cut a deal.
I mean,
the Sox need to
pushing all the right buttons.
Jump
Oz.
In and
it's just a little.
Did he have a chat with any pitchers?
We'll have to find
Anybody
that out.
Jump out at you?
I'm going to bring that up with Ozzie. I think he'll probably answer that question.
Is Lance Lynn there?
Yeah,
meeting up with him.
That'll be good.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. That's great. 5-0, man. You know, I hate to say it, but you got to wonder. Right?
Lance Lynn's pitching today, so he gets back on the mound. Lucas Giolito grinded out. 5 innings, did not have his best stuff.
No, but he got through it.
He got through it.
Shohei Ohtani put on the Babe Ruth show. You know, he got a hold of one.
The cape. Is he Babe Ruth? Is he Michael Jordan? Is he Superman?
Whoever he is.
Which is he?
Clark Kent. Out.
Homered.
I was driving downtown. I heard ESPN's national radio show, and they talked about. They talked about the White Sox, and they said, here's Shohei Ohtani, and he hits a home run, blah, blah, blah. And the Sox came back and won. That's all they said. Like, the story wasn't, hey, the White Sox won a game,
which
is kind of what we would think about here. Their story was Shohei Ohtani hit a home run.
Yeah, he is
they lost.
The story whenever he plays and whatever he does and the dual purpose. He looks great.
Sox have never given out a $100 million deal, one of three teams, along with Kansas City and the Oakland A's. Would they pay half a billion for that?
No, I don't think so. I know
would
so.
Would the A's? Is Kansas City going to make an offer?
By next season.
It would be awesome
by
if
next
you
season,
went from none to Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani may make more per game than some of the A's players will make in a season.
That's true.
It's going
their
to
whole
be,
payroll. Yeah.
Ridiculous what his next contract will look like, and we'll talk about what it means to the game and whether the Cubs will be involved. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but it is fun to have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani in town. It's nice to have the Angels against the White Sox. I just wish that they weren't these conflicted choice. If you're a baseball fan in Chicago and say you wanted to have, you know, go to one of the – having both teams in town is a little awkward.
Yes.
That's all.
Well, I mean, I don't hate it. I just want to time it up. That's all. I just want to be able to watch both things at once.
Instead of flipping around on his channels.
Yeah, I hate that.
But the problem is when they're both out of town. That's bigger
worse.
Problem.
It's
bad when they're both here, but what's worse is when they're both out of town, especially on a weekend. That makes no sense to me at all.
Or a night game, like a late, you know, on the West Coast or something. Where, you know, one of the games you got no chance of seeing.
Where are they when NASCAR arrives?
You know, let me tell you something. I was thinking about that yesterday because you do this just to, you bring it up just to annoy me. And that's fine. And now you're cheering for it. Which is,
I'm not cheering for it.
No, you said.
I said open mind.
Okay.
I said open mind.
Yeah.
I'm encouraging people to have an open mind about this.
I'm encouraging them to not do it. Give the money because obviously it's a money grab. So go ahead and pay the money. But. What are you doing in Chicago? Who wants you here? I mean, how many NASCAR, that's not part of our culture as Chicagoans. It's just not. And I don't think that I want that kind of noise level or pollution level or potentially damaging to architecture level. You know what would be great?
Art or architecture?
Exactly. The architecture's coming down. The building's going to fall on the art. They're clearing out the Art Institute, which sounds like a caper movie, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
It just sounds like, you know, NASCAR.
You might have a little screenplay there. If you have, take a little, a couple days off to work on that.
There you go.
Come back to me with a proposal. Hey, 630 says, I have some friends who went to both games on Monday. That would be cool to do.
See, that's what I'm saying. That kind of thing is great. I've done that rarely, but done it. I've done the Bears game to the Blackhawks game. I mean, there are some real fun doubleheaders.
There
that
was
you can
one
get
time
in a lifetime. Which
I am going to regret bringing this up because I don't remember the year, but it was one day in September where the Bears. I think they were playing the Bengals. It was way back when. It was maybe during the Orton era. The Bears were in town. The Cubs and White Sox, because of rainouts, were in town. The Blackhawks were playing on an exhibition game. And I remember being at all four venues in one day for a column. And like going from one game to the next and trying to get to each one and on time.
Yeah,
and
it was good luck with that.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a fun thing to do once.
Yeah.
But you know, you do it once. Like you said, you want to go to both games. If you go to both games and you rush around, do you really enjoy either? Because you're always on your way somewhere. So I remember doing that and feeling like I was relieved at the end of the day, but I could say that I did it.
Dan Pompey, I think he went to a game in Green Bay, okay? And then the idea was he was going to fly back to Chicago and go to the Bears game. The Bears were playing at night. So he goes to the Green Bay game. He gets caught in traffic trying to get to that airport in Green Bay because, you know, there's usually no cars there, and all of a sudden there's NASCAR. And then he went, to Appleton. So he returns his rental car, misses his flight, gets another rental car, goes to Appleton, misses that flight, and then has to drive home, and he's going to drive back to the Bears game. I think he had to stop in Milwaukee to write. Like, he was never going to get done. It was never going to happen. It was like you needed, like, Superman to turn the earth or something. You needed to control time in some way. It's just, like, that's the problem with that sort of assignment.
Logistics,
David,
are tough.
That's the idea.
Logistics are rough.
Of going from place to place and all of the difficulty in doing that. It's a cool thing to do, but it holds no fascination.
Yeah, I don't think anymore
it's
I would want to
stressful.
Do that.
Yeah, just sounds stressful.
The whole, as much as you can avoid planes, trains, and automobiles.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's so funny. Yeah. But I got to tell you, it's great to see our baseball teams win. We got the NBA Finals starting tomorrow night. That is a great event. We've got the NHL Finals starting, when is that, Friday night?
Saturday. Thursday and Saturday.
Okay.
And if you are, and I thought about this yesterday, talking about the logistical challenges and Elder that you our former lives as sports writers and how much fun it would be. Whether you're a sports writer or just in sports media in South Florida next week,
yes,
you've got
two champions.
The Heat,
yeah,
the Panthers, the Heat, the Panthers. I think 4 days in a row,
yeah,
there are finals games in South Florida,
right?
Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and I think that would be, wow, a cool thing for any sports fan, any sports media member to experience. It just night after night after night, the intensity, the electricity, the action of having the NBA Finals followed by the Stanley Cup Final.
That's
wow.
Pretty cool. That's pretty good. They're doing all right for themselves. So it's, you know,
I'm jealous.
Well, the problem is, the
totally
problem is
jealous.
I'm not jealous because it doesn't happen every year. But if you got Boston, you know, where they were doing that would be really embittering. When you have every team good and you live in Chicago, you would be sick of other people.
It's okay
success.
Because of South Florida, because it doesn't happen that often?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it happens
the novelty.
That often. I think there is a great novelty to it, and I think that's fine.
I understand that, and
but
that's very
were,
magnanimous of you. But I think that
oh my God,
I still am
Boston.
I'm a little jealous of the fact that there that should be able to, one of the two at least, happen here, have some possibility of it happening here, and it's going to be so long before we can consider it realistically for it to happen here.
Connor Bedard, buddy, that's all I can say.
I know, well,
it's going to happen.
It still could be
right?
A few years away. It could happen. I think I feel better about, I know you didn't ask me this, but I think I feel better about the Hawks possibly being in that position to be in the Stanley Cup Final than I do about the Bulls being
what?
In the NBA Finals.
What about Vooch? Looks like Vooch could be back.
Exactly.
Isn't that, that doesn't, no reason for celebration.
I mean.
Wow. Yeah. They kind of have to bring him back.
They kind of have to do that
because they traded everything for him, and they're kind of going to have to force this to work.
They're pot committed.
Right.
They are going down this road because I think they have to. We'll talk about it during the pick six. But
it's
one of those things that you understand what comes next. It's you sign him. You figure out what you're going to do. You figure out who you're going to add, and you're not going to take away much. You just have to add to this mix and this core.
I understand all that. we also have to talk about the Bears. The Bears are back. They're opening up the OTAs today, so we'll get more information on who's there and who isn't there. I don't know if there's anything else we're going to learn. They obviously have already won the Super Bowl of OTAs with a great day from Justin Fields to the – did I see that right? The people are already saying DJ Moore, best receiver ever in Chicago.
I think so.
Is that
– I think that's pretty much the anointing.
Is that at all premature or is that
– is it premature?
We're going to just –
You new here?
We're going to forget that Johnny Morris ever caught a pass or
– I think what people are doing is they're extrapolating his numbers.
Okay.
Previous to coming to Chicago and saying that if he were – you put them against any Bears receiver, and he already is the most accomplished receiver.
Okay.
If he were a Bear.
How would you describe what Chicago is to wide receivers? Has anyone ever described
that?
They
have. Musa Muhammad did that quite well.
And what did he say?
Is it kind of a graveyard for receivers? Is where they come to die.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that DJ Moore isn't going to be spectacular. I'm just saying – let's just tap the brakes tiny bit.
Yeah, I think so. Let me ask you this about DJ Moore.
Who wants to be the first guy to say he's
the greatest
receiver?
We'll get to it later. I want to see if it may. I'm looking at the questions here. Okay, no, it didn't make the cut. So DJ Moore and DeAndre Hopkins, who catches more passes next year?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. DeAndre Hopkins, I believe, was in the airport. Was at O'Hare. Did you see that? Somebody snapped a photo of him going through town. I don't know if he was visiting with someone. I don't know if he's trying to get a job here. But he was through town because someone snapped a photo of him standing at the counter at O'Hare.
And I in no way am suggesting that the
two
Bears
guys are on the same team.
They're not okay. Going to be on the same team. Yeah. The Bears should stay away because of the cost and the age and the other things.
Yes.
But if you're DeAndre Hopkins and you are targeting a contender to join, my sense is that you're either going to be with the Bills, the Chiefs, the Patriots. Okay. So if you are on one of those teams and you're the primary target, you're likely going to have a lot of catches next year. He had 63, I think, in 9 games.
Yeah, I would say it depends on which of those teams he goes to. Because some of these things are not like the others, and some of them just
Bills, Chiefs,
don't
Patriots.
Belong.
Well, the thing is if you're with the Bills, it's a very good team. You're going to spread the ball around, but you're going to get a lot of opportunities. If you're with the Chiefs, okay, speaks for itself. You're going to get a lot of opportunities.
You're going to set records.
And if you're with the Patriots, you're going to be the number one target.
From who?
Mac Jones.
Are you sure they're still – they're not? Did they trade him yet?
Not yet, but
I
think –
are they friendly with him?
Hey, you speak with respect about Mac Jones. He's ranked ahead of Justin Fields on Chris Sims' quarterback rankings.
I am merely talking about his relationship with the coaching staff, which went very ugly last year.
It did.
And they were talking about trading him.
I'm not defending Mac Jones.
If you're bringing him back,
no.
Are you going to really be getting that productive a year out of him? I don't know. They've changed their offense coordinator. They got rid of the former defensive coordinator who was trying to be the offense.
That was a bad idea.
Patricia.
Sit up straight when you say that, too.
Exactly.
Okay.
For a guy like Belichick, that kind of,
To wonder about Bill after that decision.
Maybe the genius isn't as smart as he thinks he is.
He needs to have a big year. He could be on the hot seat. Mike Florio would say that. But I think this. If you
can't fire Bill Belichick. Now, when he gets to coach for as long as he wants.
Maybe.
He's like in that. He's kind of.
You don't have to fire him. You could usher him out the door. Yeah, maybe.
Right?
I think so. I think he would deserve the benefit of the doubt. He's earned that. But Mac Jones throwing to DeAndre Hopkins, it's not the worst combination. My point would be
I just think that there might be a guy in Kansas City who's better. That's all I'm
there's
saying.
No doubt about that. There's no, but you also have more weapons in Kansas City to spread the ball around, so you don't know.
Do you, or does the quarterback make the weapons? I think he's pretty damn good.
He is. You think that Hopkins would definitely catch more passes in Kansas City than New England?
I think Hopkins is open right now and is going to be open, and I think that –
all right, so direct question then. Who has more catches next year? DJ Moore or DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, again, I want to see where he lands.
No. You can't wait. I'm asking you to 553. You have to have an answer.
If he goes to Kansas City, then it's Hopkins. How's that?
No, I'll say DJ Moore.
See? Why? Greatest receiver ever in Bears history.
Because of the numbers.
Let's see him play
a
game.
For themselves.
Let's just let the guy play one game.
I am team DJ Moore. I'm driving that bandwagon.
I'm all for it. I got to see the guy play a game. Wow.
It's a fun argument.
We're way ahead of ourselves.
I know. Well, hey, it's May 31st.
It's Chicago. I get it.
It's Chicago.
Baseball not doing well.
And the Bears are back on the field today.
Yes, they are. So there you go. And we'll talk about all of it. We're going to pick apart all the stories of the day. We're going to do that in the Pick Six. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was the best thing and the worst thing about the Cubs and White Sox playing at the same time in the same city on the same night? The only time that's scheduled to happen, except for games they play each other. Did starters Lucas Giolito and Kyle Hendricks conjure images of the past?
Well, first of all, you know, no question that there are images of the past when you have those guys. I mean, Kyle Hendricks in particular, because he really was significantly better, and he was the professor, and he really pitched the way you've seen him pitch, and it was almost a relief. Is that unfair to say? Lucas Giolito wasn't at his best, didn't have his best stuff, got through it, gave up a leadoff home run, so that's difficult to watch when you're kind of already down a game in a series and you're in the position that the Sox are in. But he got it together, and he did well for himself. I think that I'm not as mad about them playing at the same time in the city. I mean, they often play at the same time or an hour difference or something when one team's on the road and the other one is here. So I'm used to watching back and forth. It's just strange that they're both in Chicago. It's just a little weird to kind of watch the games. I knew you guys would be watching the Cubs game, so I was trying to watch the Sox. And then when there was, I'm being honest, and then when that Ohtani home run happened, I immediately switched over to the Cubs and watched the Cubs. And then by the time I had gotten back to the Sox game, you had the Vaughny clear the bases double. So I had to go back and watch that happen. So I was wearing out my DVR over the course of the two games. But there wasn't as much action happening. There weren't as many runs, let's say. So that the tension of a low-scoring, close game was more enticing to me than, you know, once the Sox got their lead. I wound up watching the Cubs more than the Sox as a result.
I think this not only affects the people on the show, but the people listening to this show. This was not a good setup for anybody for Chicago baseball. You have the Angels in town.
Doesn't that happen all the time?
No, it doesn't happen all the time. You don't have both teams.
They don't play at the same time?
No, not the both teams in the same city.
Well, not in the same city.
But that's part of it. My point is that, and here's why. Let me just really quick. No, you're fine. But you have Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth supposedly in town.
Right.
And if you're a Chicago sports fan, you should get over to 35th and Shields. They should have had good walk-up crowds. But you're competing with the Cubs on an absolutely
beautiful
weekend.
Oh, gorgeous.
I mean, you couldn't pay for the weather that
postcard
Chicago
weather
had.
It was gorgeous.
So on Memorial Day itself, the Cubs play the day game, the Sox play the night game. But the problem is that we get up at 2:30 in the morning on the day after the holiday, so you can't even stay up for the end of the Sox game. You certainly can't go to the Sox game. Then last night they're both playing in the evening, and then today they're playing at the same time during the day.
Yeah, that's the problem. I agree with you that is a problem, because Which game do you want to go to? You know, it's a beautiful sunny day.
Good question.
Sit at Wrigley.
Fair enough.
But you got good stuff.
And I know these sound like the worries and the troubles that you guys have. But
the point is, if
Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth are in town, you should probably go see Mickey Mantle, yeah. Babe Ruth, and the Unicorn.
Fair enough. Okay, I'm not going to whine about the schedule. We already have done that enough. I know, it's okay. From a baseball perspective, the best thing about last night was both teams winning, but also Adbert Alzolay coming through for the Cubs in a closer role. Two innings of real shutdown, lockdown pitching out of the bullpen, a bullpen that has been much maligned. Adbert Alzolay's emergence, it creates some possibility there. It creates some hope there, where I think the last couple days we wondered about where this is headed. For the White Sox, Romy Gonzalez, as we mentioned earlier, his last – since coming off the injured list, he's hitting .333. He's now hit home runs in three straight games. He's going to go for a fourth today if he's in the lineup. I hope he's in the lineup. Sounded like Pedro Grifol is going to put him in the lineup, and he is getting hot at the right time. They're developing a player there. Maybe they're finding something there. I hope it continues. But from a baseball perspective, solely from a baseball perspective, those were the two biggest developments last night. From a fan perspective, it is a little bit short-sighted of Major League Baseball to put the Angels against the White Sox in Chicago when you're competing against the Cubs because of the showcase possibility of having two of the greatest players in the game. And you want a city, a baseball city, a sports town focused on that. And they had their focus divided last night, and that doesn't seem right.
I think I surprised you with that question.
Oh, yes, yeah, you did. A lot of people think about it.
That's the voice of Ozzie Guillen. He'll be here at 8 o'clock. You like the news that Hayden Wesniewski being recalled from Iowa and Rucker being optioned to AAA. How about the plan of using Wesniewski being used out of the bullpen, be it in multiple innings guy or simply a one-inning appearance? Does it make sense to get the help via talent right now, even if the player remains part of the future as a starter in the rotation?
I don't know what to make of this. I want to know more. I am encouraged by Hayden Wesniewski doing what was necessary at Iowa to make the Cubs feel like he's ready to come back for another tour. He apparently wasn't ready the first time. Maybe it was a numbers game. Maybe Kyle Hendricks coming back, you know, precipitated him moving back to Iowa. I don't know, but he wasn't sharp the first go-around consistently enough to stay. I don't know what's changed. There certainly isn't a spot in the rotation for him unless you're going to find some sort of phantom injury for Jameson Taillon, which is possible, I suppose. But they sent Rucker down, I believe. So it's not a apples for apples exchange here. You've got a starter in a relief role who's never done it before. That's unusual for a young pitcher, especially, particularly when you consider that he is a guy that is projected to be part of your rotation moving forward. I don't know what the plans are. The Cubs don't want to waste his talent, but with all this talk about Keegan Thompson getting stretched out and this guy can't be used in this situation, how they're going to use Hayden Wesniewski will be very interesting to see. And I mean that interesting in a positive way, because this is a progress for his career. So, yes, I'm happy he's back.
I think it's fantastic. You get the best arms in your organization that are major league ready, and you put them on the major league team. Every pitch, in my opinion, that Wesniewski was down in Iowa doing when he's working into the fourth inning, that's just a waste. Wasted pitches.
Wasted bullets.
Okay, he is a young guy. If it next year you stretch him back out again, this shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, he might have closer type stuff if they don't really have it. Maybe he's the guy that grabs a hold of that slot if he's given the opportunity. You know, Alzolay sure looked the part last night, but I don't know if Alzolay can go back-to-back days. Now, again, nobody goes back-to-back days for two innings. I get that at the end of a game. I understand that. But get the best arms in your organization that are major league ready and put them on the major. Assad might be a starter down the line, and so might Wesniewski. But if they're the two best arms, get them up here and get guys out.
I think he belongs on the major league club. I think it was sad when Wesniewski was sent down because he is a future starter, a big part of this thing. Listen, you know, this is not unusual. This used to be the way this went. I remember Mark Burley as a reliever, and then he became Mark Burley. And I think that Wesneski, what I love about him is there is like a bounce and an energy to that guy that again, with that Wrigley crowd going, he's gonna do well in whatever situation you put him in. I really got a lot of time for him, and I'm glad. And you're right, Dustin. Listen, you're falling apart. Your season is falling apart in part because your bullpen has been absolute garbage. So now you got a guy that is a major league quality pitcher, and you're using him. Maybe it's not the right way. Maybe eventually he needs to be back in the starting rotation, and maybe that happens as soon as the trade deadline, depending on things go.
We can talk about this later, too, because I wonder about Wesneski coming up and Keegan Thompson staying down.
Yeah, that's interesting.
If your arms are, you want them ones on the major league roster, you guys both say right.
Who would you want sent down? Tyon. But you can't do that because you got $68 million invested. Right. You got no choice to do it.
Right.
You can't even make up an injury and have him go down for a month to recover.
Are you limping, Jameson?
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like you might be limping.
That might be the answer.
Oh, David, I know exactly what your question was.
On the Score Tuesday, David Ross compared Matt Mervis' struggles to Julio Rodriguez, who was hitting .205 without a home run in his first 20 games last year, yet still became the Rookie of the Year. And Anthony Rizzo, who hit .167 in his first 20 MLB games with the Padres with only one homer. Are those good comps or wishful thinking?
Those are wishful that is the definition of wishful thinking, right? I mean, you pick two guys that had to struggle to get to where they're at, and you say, that's all this is. This guy is going to make you forget about Anthony Rizzo. That's what you're saying. And I mean, here's hoping. But I don't know. For every of those two, could you not come up with about 30 guys that came up and had a big reputation and then went right back down? I think, again, you know, this is like when we're comparing players around draft time. Well, this guy is going to wind up being like a 7-time Pro Bowler. This guy is going to be a 12-time All-Star because he plays just like this other guy. Guys struggle, and we're staying with them is all he's saying. But there's going to be a time. Wasn't Rizzo sent back down before he came back up?
Yeah.
I think that's fine to make those comparisons, but it is, above all else, that's wishful thinking.
Yes and yes, like Steve Stone would say.
Thank you, Dustin. I heard
that's it? Is that it?
Well, yeah, yes, it is a good comparison, I believe, and yes, it's also wishful thinking.
Okay.
Yes and yes.
Fair enough.
I think what it said to me when I heard David Ross say that yesterday was, number one, the Cubs believe in Matt Mervis, and they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed or fail. And they're going to really hope upon hope that he succeeds. I don't know. I don't like comparing guys like this to, number one, a Rookie of the Year, and number two, a Cub legend. I think those are some pretty weighty comparisons. Yeah. It sounds a lot like wishful thinking. I don't know if he's going to be like Julio Rodriguez and Anthony Rizzo or Brian Lehera and Frank Schwindel. Which is it? What direction is he headed? I don't know that we know yet. So I understand the desire to praise and compliment Matt Mervis where he is, and he's struggling mightily. So if you're the Cubs, you've got to wrap your arms around him and try to lift him as you give him every opportunity to succeed. But I do think this is a bit of a stretch, and I do think this is one of those things that, you know, in the media, if we were to make this comparison, people would scoff like, oh my God, you guys are exaggerating. It's crazy. And when the manager says it, you know, you're a little bit more tempered in your reaction, but it is a bit crazy. Those are two elite players. And if Matt Mervis ends up being like them, wow, the Cubs are onto something. I just don't know what they have seen. Maybe last year, again, last year was last year. What we're seeing this year is more troubling. I hope he can turn it around.
Great question.
The Bears will host the media for the second time in OTAs this afternoon. Any chance Jalen Johnson, Nate Davis are on hand? What about Eddie Jackson? How about Darnell Mooney, thought to be recovering from injuries? Anything to see here, or is it time to just move along?
Not time to move along. It's the Bears and OTAs. It's the NFL. You don't move along. You don't you don't miss an opportunity for any cue that might tell you something about the season ahead. If Jalen Johnson isn't there, that's another cue. It's another hint. It's another issue that needs to be addressed at some point in time. It's unresolved now. Maybe it won't be resolved until there's a new contract. I don't know. I got some grief last week from some Bears fans who think it was overreacting to Jalen Johnson missing his first OTA and trying to, you know, minimize his value to this defense. He's a very good cornerback. I don't want that to get lost in this conversation. He's a very good cornerback. But there might be a difference between what he thinks he's worth and what the team thinks he's worth, especially given the young players they have at that position, especially with the defense that they play. So if Jalen Johnson isn't there today, I'm less worried about Nate Davis. I think he's going to show up. He signed a contract to be a Chicago Bear. He's going to be there. They're going to count on him. He's also got a track record. He's a veteran. Jalen Johnson, also a veteran, but has a track record with this regime as maybe not being the most compliant guy. So get there. I know it's voluntary. I know, people, it's voluntary. But it makes a statement when you aren't volunteering to be there. So that's the way football coaches will look at it, and that's the way it will be interpreted.
I would be disappointed if all four weren't there. It doesn't make any sense to me. And if they're not there, then the Bears need to do them, meaning these four players, a solid and explain to us, the media, so we can get that information to the fans. Because them not being there and the Bears saying, we're coaching who's here, it's voluntary, we're moving along with who's here, that does not help out the people that aren't there. And it doesn't make any sense, especially the new right guard for the Chicago Bears. So you paid good money.
$30 million.
He wanted to come here because the Bears paid him. The Bears wanted him here. It's a lot of money. Mully, what do you always say? A lot of money comes with expectations back, right? Something along those lines.
To whom much is given, much is expected.
So show up. And if there's something going on, I'm sorry that there's something going on. Then it's excused. But let us know that. Do the player a favor, Bears, and don't hide behind, you know, it's personal. Then say it's personal. Say he's got something going on. Okay, then we'll back off. But there's 99 days until kickoff. Let's go.
Yeah, we are in the countdown. That's accurate. It's a voluntary portion of the program, but it clearly is something that they want you to be a part of. And it's clearly, in their opinion, a recognition of whether you've bought in or haven't. Now, when the mini camp starts and it is no longer voluntary, that's a big story if someone doesn't show up. But it is voluntary. There are veterans around the league that don't feel they need it, that don't want to turn up at it. Usually, though, if you're joining a new team, you're going to kind of turn up and show that you want to be part of what they're doing. I think the Jalen Johnson thing is a separate issue and more interesting than anything else, because a year ago, they had the same issue with Roquan Smith. It got personal, and they had to move him. And then what did they do? They went out and signed a guy at big money to replace the guy they got rid of. Are they going to have to do the same thing at cornerback? Because you're right, David, they got young corners. But do you trust those young players to develop into players? You're just creating more problems in the future if you can't figure out a way of getting it done.
I believe there's a difference, though, between the Darnell Mooney and Eddie Jackson question the other two guys.
I do, because those are injury-related.
And
you know what? How hard would it be to say that? I think you ought to say that.
Fair enough.
Just let us know.
Clarity.
Dustin's right about
it. We want some clarity there.
Yeah.
That's the answer to the question of why.
Is there any chance Miami's Jimmy Butler is the best player on the floor in the NBA Finals? What about his teammate, Caleb Martin? Is this really all about the Joker, Jokic? Could Jamal Murray be the key player for Denver? If you were starting a team or building for 1 year, which guy would you take, or is the answer the same?
I like this question. If I were starting a team, I would take the Joker without a question. It's not even close. And I might take Jamal Murray second, frankly, because he's young and he's kind of gotten through the injury portion of the program. The Joker is the two-time MVP that should be a three-time MVP, frankly. He should have won that award this year. And if he wins the championship, it'll underscore it. So I think he's just a different type of player. I think he's the best player on the floor in the finals. I think Jimmy is extraordinary. And what Jimmy has done This is a remarkable run. This is an eighth seed that has gotten through the play-in and is now in the NBA Finals. And if they were to win, and listen, I'm not saying they're going to win the finals, but they're going to break their hump. They're not going to go out easy. They're not an easy out, regardless of any talent deficiency. But I think it's going to be the Joker who's the best player on the floor, and I think Jamal Murray is probably the second best player on the floor, and I think that's going to be a big problem trying to match that up for Miami. But they're going to work hard. They're going to come up with stuff. They got really good coaching. I just think this Denver team is better. It's the better team of the two.
Well, now what you just said there, it's the better team of the two. I think the Celtics had the better players, but the Heat had the better team.
Agree.
So if we're looking for like one year, one series, I might go with Jimmy Butler. His will to win is really unmatched in today's NBA, in my opinion. I mean, I like everything about the Joker. It's just bizarre. Like, he does it so like
he does everything.
Averaging a triple double is no big thing for him, it seems like, even though it should be a big deal. And then, like, the report after they won the West, he was like lifting weights. And then, did you hear this? I heard this on The Score. He was lifting weights. And did you hear what music he was listening to?
Country?
No. The Steve Miller Band.
Really?
I'm the Joker, I'm the Toker, you know, I'm the Midnight Smoker, yeah. whatever the lyrics are. But just, I mean, it's just, can you just see him like mouthing those lyrics while he's like bench pressing or doing
Fly Like an Eagle?
Just hilarious.
Steve
to me.
Miller Band? Wow. I did
that
not
is
hear
also
that.
Steve Miller Band.
Interesting. I think this is the series where America gets introduced, as odd as that sounds, to Nikola Jokic. And he is the guy at 28 years old. People are going to say, like, wow, I didn't realize he was that good. I didn't realize he was that dominant. And he will be that good and that dominant in this series. He clearly is going to be the best player on the floor. And he obviously would be the number one player that you choose if you're starting a franchise. He is the MVP. He is the guy that can't be stopped. He does it all, and he does it all willingly and very humbly. I love everything about him, and I think people are going to look at this and say, wow, they play basketball in Denver? Cool. We're going to have to stay up later and watch some of those games next year. I with due respect to what the Miami Heat are all about, and with due respect to what Jimmy Butler has accomplished in his career since leaving the Bulls, since leaving the Timberwolves, since leaving the Sixers, this is his fourth marriage, and it's working quite well and is going great. So I don't think, though, they're going to be able to get over the top against the Nuggets. They're deeper than the Celtics. They're smarter than the Celtics, and they shoot better than the Celtics. So that's going to be the difference. Jamal Murray might be the second best player in this series. You're exactly right, Mully, because people don't know about him either. But he can change a game in 2 minutes. He can get hot and just not miss, and then all of a sudden you go from being down 3 to up 6. So this is going to be a great series, but it all starts with the Joker.
And it's a pick 6!
Are you on board with the friend of the program, Sean Sharania, reporting the Bulls have started contract extension talks with Vooch? Does this signal to you a status quo for next season, and would you approve of that?
This definitely signals a status quo that the Bulls are embracing. This is not a surprise. If you've been paying attention, you have heard from AK. You have seen what they have done and, frankly, what they haven't done. They have until June 30th to work out an extension before he might hit the open market. It would not shock me at all if they come to terms. I think that you look at Vooch, and he may want to test the open market, but he might be disappointed in what he will find. He has a degree of certainty with the Bulls that he knows, even though it was a disappointing year, even though there are things that he can't control, he understands that he's also playing with two guys in Zach and DeMar that are going to be reliable teammates. He's going to be their version, part of their version of the big three. I hate that term, but it is what the Bulls kind of view, how they view it. So not a surprise. They're embracing the status quo. They're going to run it back and see if they can find shooting and maybe a lead guard in the draft or wherever they can find maybe an undrafted guy. Hey, how about that? Does that ever work for a team? Can they find undrafted guys that contribute?
I don't think the Bulls have any other choice.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
I totally agree. I think that they're locked into having absolutely zero choice as to what they can do. They've got to keep this guy. They've invested too much, and they're going to do it. So they'll come up with some kind of deal. I would almost prefer they waited until he took a look at the market because that might help them more. But they'll get it done. Simple as that.
You're afraid of them setting their own
yes.
price for him?
Yes.
Setting the market?
I think that's a mistake. All right. We got the extra point next. Mullion Hall on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mullion Hall on 670 The Score.
On our show Tuesday, Steve Stone made a lofty comparison of Shohei Ohtani.
He is a unicorn. I mean, you didn't think a guy like that existed, but we're getting a chance to see him at the ballpark. And look, guys, you know, and you have a great listening audience. If you get a chance to see him, you don't know how many times you're going to get a chance to see him live. But it's like seeing Michael Jordan in his prime. You're watching Babe Ruth here, maybe a little bit better, only in that he pitches at the same time that he's hitting.
Is that closer to being accurate or an exaggeration? Aren't Ruth and Jordan generally considered the best to ever play at their respective sports? Is that what we're watching in Ohtani? And if so, is any price too high?
I think those are interesting questions, but they're separate ones. The price of a player doesn't necessarily consider his historical context. I think the price of Ohtani in free agency is going to be one that's worth paying for the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Angels. The Angels don't want to let him go. That's what I did agree with. I think it was Stoney that referred to that. They can't let him go. He's got to stay in Southern California for that franchise to feel like they didn't miss out on a generational opportunity to win with somebody who is considered a unicorn. I do hesitate when, as much as, and I don't know that there's a bigger cheerleader for Ohtani to the Cubs or around here, certainly not on this show, and I love everything that he represents, and he handles himself in an exemplary way. He is a superstar. He is a baseball superstar. He is one of a global icon. All the things that we want to attach to him are true. I don't know that he's Babe Ruth. I don't know that he's Michael Jordan. It's like watching Michael Jordan in his prime. It's like seeing Babe Ruth do what he did. But I don't know that it's better than that. I don't know that it's similar to that in that I don't think he's the greatest ever that I'm watching. I don't look at Shohei Ohtani and say, I think what he's the duality of pitching and hitting at the same time makes him one of the most valuable players, if not the most valuable player in baseball. But I don't know that he's something I feel like when I see him, I'm watching Babe Ruth. Maybe that's a flaw of mine or a blind spot, but I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
I mean, this is so frustrating. This goes back to earlier in the pick six about having these guys in town at the same time the Cubs are playing. And people are going to think I'm going to a certain area. I'm not, but there were 22,000 people at that game last night. There were 31,000 people at the game on the north side. Again, sold tickets, maybe not, you know, fannies and seats. But I think that 35th and Shields would have been about at least 75% full had the Cubs not been in town. I think Chicago is a good enough sports market. But if Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan are playing in your town, you go and see them live at least one game. And that's why I think it's a little bit exaggerated because people aren't doing that. Part of our problem here, especially this time that we work, is that we don't get to see Ohtani very often. And we don't. And I don't think Major League Baseball does a good enough job promoting him or Trout in enough. You know, Saturday night is an example. We got Cubs-Reds on the national game of the week. I didn't want to see that game, period, let alone on the national game of the week. Right? I mean, come on. Put Ohtani and Trout on.
Well, I mean, Matt Mervis is Julio Rodriguez.
Who?
Okay. So, I think that Shohei Ohtani is a spectacular player and an amazing talent. And I think he underscored how good he is during that World Baseball Classic when he led Japan to victory over the U.S., striking out Mike Trout and doing it. It was sensational. And that, you know, I didn't think I was going to even watch much of that. And that ended up being a great event, and I really enjoyed it. And I think that he has solidified his place in the history of baseball. because of the fact that he can pitch at a very high level and he's a home run hitter. And, you know, a lot of the stuff he says is very good. It's a guy that you have to listen to through a translator. So you got to keep that in mind. But, you know, he talked about where he was from and the small place and coming up and becoming who he is. He's extraordinary. And I would definitely think he's worth the price of admission. But, Dustin, you know, the whole attendance thing, I know that is an obsession of yours. The Cubs are the unicorn when it comes to attendance because it is a spectacular place to go. It is a great area around there, and it's tons of fun. And every time they play, you get a huge crowd, whether they're good or not. The reality of the South Side is that people show up when the Sox are good. And when the Sox are not good, they don't show up. And I don't think that there are as many kind of baseball fans, as you call them. I think they're Sox fans. And I think that the Sox fans, there's a certain group that are going to show up no matter what. And then there's the other portion that will only go if they're good and will be resentful if they're not and hang on to their money and not give it out at the ballpark. It's just a different kind of reality than the one you face on the north side. There are people that go there just for the entertainment, for the fun, for the young crowd, for the nearby bars, to have a bunch of drinks and to put them in giant snakes and not watch an inning of baseball.
I get all that.
I don't think you do.
I think that
that's a great place to go, and I've never not had fun at a Cub game. I enjoy going to Sox games to see the White Sox if they're in a big series, if there's something good going on. Right now, they're awful. They're awful, and everybody's mad about it, and it's hard to go out to the ballpark, frankly, because you feel like you're bankrolling something
bad. But would you go to see a player compared to Babe Ruth?
That's what I mean. That's the part of it. I think if there wasn't a Cubs game going on, I think they would have had a better shot.
I'll answer the question. No, I would not go. I don't think baseball is the kind of sport. I think that if you were the man on the moon, you know, if you were some Martian who came to the United Center and watched Michael Jordan, you'd be like, oh, that guy's the best player on the floor. It was obvious. It's always obvious with that sport who the best player is. It is always. And Jordan was the guy that was better than everyone for the longest period of time in a particular game. You know, in the NBA, you get a bad matchup, you're going to give up 10 points. You've got to have players on players, and you can't change it during timeout. You have to wait until the timeout to actually make a change. And so you can really go far behind. You got to be very careful about how you put your rosters together. Jordan was where some guys would be good for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Jordan was like good half the damn game. It was extraordinary. And no matter who you were, you could see that. I don't think that's the case with baseball. I think that, you know, oh, look it, there's an at-bat. He hit a home run. I think when Aaron Judge is going for a home run record, you show up at the ballpark because it's like, wow, something really
cool. You don't think one player will draw
fans? I don't
think
one player can do that. I don't, not in that game. It's too much of a team game. You need too much of a blend of players. There are different plays involved where a guy can just be standing there for half the game and do nothing. I just don't think that it – I think the nature of the sport changes the way – the idea that you go out to see – Babe Ruth was the guy that hit a home run and no one else did. He did something no one else did. Shohei Ohtani's doing stuff that no one else can do.
By definition, you're only going to see a hitter once or four times at the plate.
That's my point.
And what Ohtani's doing is he's pitching and hitting at the same time, which I think was Steve's point, was that.
And that's awesome.
You're not seeing anybody do this since Babe Ruth, and maybe that's the point of the comparison. I just felt like it was, you know, when people say stuff like that, I just think it diminishes almost what Babe Ruth did. In a time where, you know, I was right. So long ago, it's very difficult to relate the two eras.
Yes.
But
I think this guy is incredible, honestly. I do. But I don't think the game of baseball kind of – if he's pitching, it's different maybe because you see him as much as you do. But if he's just in the lineup, it's like, wow, okay, he did well.
I'd still make room in my budget to try to afford him if I'm Tom Ricketts. I still – would pursue him with all that I would have if he hits the open market next offseason. There's no doubt about that. That's a different argument, though.
That's totally different.
Would you do that for somebody like him?
And, you know, here's the other thing. Do you need him to bring in the crowd? I mean, the Cubs crowd is
not at Wrigley.
You know, that's my point. So you got to take that idea. And, you know, is he the missing piece that helps you win a World Series? If he is, then you make that deal. If he's not, you already got a bunch of people coming out.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm sorry, Dustin, do you want to say something else to respond to that?
No, I texted into the show.
Oh, boy.
It's in the chat. It's in the chat.
Okay.
I just think there's a lot here. I know everybody wants it. It's Dustin's typical attendance game, World Series of attendance. It's not it. The point is, Major League Baseball did Chicago sports fans and the White Sox a massive disservice. David, you pointed it out very well earlier in the show. Shohei Ohtani, while he didn't pitch last night, he totally delivered. He hit the longest home run so far at the Rate. So he is a batter. He did something nobody else does. I mean, he hit the ball farther than anybody has this season. He has more home runs against the White Sox than any other team except for the teams that he plays all the time. Like, he delivers against them. I just feel, I believe that people in Chicago last night would have made it over this weekend, let's say, Monday or Tuesday, or maybe even today, if the Cubs hadn't been playing, you know, it's day game today. I think Major League Baseball really fouled this up.
Hmm. Are you the one that texted me at the show and said I need to pay more attention to the Angels?
And also, Mully, you pointed out, if he can't bring people to the ballpark, he's not worth 500 mildo.
Yeah, I
that's the other part of this.
We'll get back to that, please. Yeah, we will get back to that.
We got a lot to get back to, but we got Joe O next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
He is a unicorn. Money, 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 money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score.
Oh my.
Always a delight to talk to our buddy Joe Ostrowski. And he joins us as all guests do on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Joseph, good morning. How are you, sir?
Dustin Ditter said something.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah.
Good ears, Joe. How are you doing this morning, and how excited are you for the NBA and NHL final?
Oh, man. Yeah. Can we get it started? I won't be the one complaining about how it's going to last a full month once we finally get to the NBA finals. But if you look at the odds, they're saying once again the Heat don't have much of a chance, even though they just won three straight series as underdogs. The numbers have the Nuggets -400. They're implying there's an 80% chance that the Nuggets win the title here, and the Heat at +310. As far as game one tomorrow, guys, I know a lot of people are going to take a look at it and say, wow, that's a massive point spread, and it is. It's 8.5 points, but I still like Denver the way that they've played at home, and there's going to be that whole rest versus rust argument. And I look at that Heat roster, and I think it's going to hurt them. Sometimes there's a thing with momentum and being on the ice or the court, and I just think it's going to hurt Miami being pushed to 7 games the way they were after taking the first three. So Denver -400, it's tough to bet a number like that. So the popular one, and one that I think makes a lot of sense, is Denver -1.5 games. So what that means is you need Denver to win in 6 games or fewer, 4-2, 4-1, something like that. And you would cash that bet, and you don't have to lay a ton of juice here. The Denver offense, one of the most efficient that we've ever seen in the playoffs, 120 points per 100 possessions so far. And I get it. Miami, they took out Giannis. They took out Tatum. Every time there's a favorite, they take them down. But Jokic for MVP is -350, guys. Butler +350. I guess if you're looking for a long shot, it'll be tough. Jamal Murray is 12-1 to be the MVP. He could certainly lead the series in scoring, but I do like Denver to win this series.
When you look at an MVP candidate, you know, obviously if the Heat win, it's going to be Jimmy, just out of respect as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Joker or nothing, or is Jamal Murray have an outside look? How are they lining that up?
Here's the thing. I don't trust these voters. This is there was a lot of controversy the other night with the end of the Eastern Conference Finals because they just started this a couple years ago where they have the Conference Finals MVP. And there was a strong case to be made for Caleb Martin, right? Especially the way he ended that series. And there were people that had votes that were on record. Reggie Miller is on the air saying Martin's the MVP. Martin's the MVP. Reggie Miller had a vote. He voted for Butler. Tim Bontemps was on record on his podcast. Caleb Martin's the MVP of the series, guys. Caleb Martin's the MVP of the series. He has a vote. It's out there. He voted for Butler, too. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that Murray could win it, or maybe he should. But in the end, the voters, I guess they don't want an Iguodala situation. They're just probably going to vote for the superstar. So I think it's probably Jokic or nothing, even though, you know, Murray was awesome last year.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, more locally of interest, Cubs and Sox at the same time in the same town today. Justin Steele for the Cubs, Lance Lynn for the White Sox. What do you think?
Well, a couple of interesting things happening with the Cubs right now. Obviously, you take down the best team in baseball back-to-back days. That's going to be notable to a lot of people. What we've seen the last 2 days is they're finally winning one-run games. Before this series started, they had the worst record in baseball in one-run games, and that's why people are saying, you know, hey, it's a little unlucky what's happening to the Cubs. They were 2-10 just 2 days ago, worst record in baseball in that, so maybe that's turning around a bit. And the other thing is low-scoring games. The unders hit in both games against Tampa from May 9th to the 28th. Overs in Cubs games were 14-2-1. So that was certainly a big run there. Tampa Bay, minus 140 to avoid the sweep here, going against Steele. Zach Eflin on the bump. Now, in his last start, he didn't have any strikeouts, so I think that provides some opportunity. If you want to go Eflin on strikeouts, over. It's at 5.5. The Cubs, even in these wins, they have been striking out. McClanahan got him 7 times. Taj Bradley got them 8 times. So Eflin in that game, I'm going over 5.5 Ks.
What about the NHL? Who are you taking?
Well, VGK is the favorite, and David, that does stand for the Vegas Golden Knights. The slight favorite, minus 130, Florida the underdog at plus 110. I'm curious how Florida's going to look. Bobrovsky, the big story there.
There you go.
And
there you go.
9 days off.
Yeah.
9 days off. I still have faith in Florida. I like them. I'm not sure that it's going to happen in game one. He's your favorite for the Conn Smythe at plus 200.
I don't get that. I mean, I understand the goaltender stands on his head, but Tkachuk has been Mr. Clutch. How is he not going to be getting the Conn Smythe if they win it all?
He's right there. He's the second favorite. And that's what's interesting to me. So Florida is not favored to win the series, but the top two favorites for the Conn Smythe are in Florida, which is really interesting. Now, I guess because on the Vegas side, it's all spread out. If you do like Vegas, I think there's an opportunity to win some money with the Conn Smythe. If you like Carlson, he's got 10 goals. He leads the team. He's plus 650. Marchessault, he's got 9. Stevenson with 8. And Eichel leads the team in postseason points with 18. So really on the Vegas side, it could be anybody. I would just pick the guy that you think is going to have the biggest series. But I do like Florida to win the cup. Not sure they're going to get it done in game one, but over the best of 7, I do like them.
Joe, we'll let you go. The Sox about to turn it around here. They're going to win that division.
I don't know. I don't know. Their favorite today, it's minus 130 as far as today with Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is turning it around. Isn't he? Last 3 starts, he's got a 1.89 ERA.
He's turning around and making faces at the third baseman.
yes. What is, whatever works.
What does Jim Miller think, though, Joe?
You're going to win it all. Lance Lynn, Cy Young, White Sox World Series. But obviously, Lynn, a workhorse there, so it's not up yet, but I bet I'm looking there. Is outs recorded? Lynn has gone 6-plus innings in his last three starts, even last start when he had 5 walks there. Didn't end up hurting the White Sox at all there. But I think Lance Lynn is showing that he's pitching better than the results were showing early on. So I'm going to go over outs recorded, especially if it's 17.5, 18.5. You know, he's throwing 100 pitches every game, so got to back that.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, this segment with Joe O brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Please bet responsibly.
I will tell you when we come back why Shohei Ohtani is worth the money.
Is he worth going to the South Side today? Are
Both.
You in? Are we going? It's Mully and Haw. We'll answer that question too on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.